Talking Industry, topical debate from the world of engineering, automation, and manufacturing. Brought to you by DFA Media Group. This episode is sponsored by Smart Machines and Factories, the leading portfolio for digital solutions in manufacturing. www.smartmachinesandfactories.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to another Talking Industry podcast. My name is Aaron Blutstein and I'm Managing Editor for Smart Machines and Factories Portal, Plant and Works Engineering and Hydraulics and Pneumatics magazines. I'm joined today by Tor Hutrum, Norway's ambassador to the UK since August 2023, and Hild Huckelberg, Director, UK and Ireland at Innovation Norway. Ambassador and Hild, thanks for joining me for this Talking Industry podcast today. Could you both just give a brief introduction regarding your background so our listeners get a little bit of a feel of who you are? Ambassador, if you could go first.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Aaron, and thank you for the invitation to participate. I'm the Norwegian ambassador in the UK. I've been here for about 6 months. So before that, I was the permanent undersecretary in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Oslo. I've been a Norwegian diplomat for over 30 years, been posted to New York as an ambassador there, to the United Nations. I've been ambassador in Afghanistan, in Sri Lanka, and have had all kinds of various leadership positions in the ministries. Basically an experienced Norwegian diplomat who's happy to be in the United Kingdom, a friend and neighboring country.
Okay, thanks. Hild?
Yes, my background is from the Trade Commission side. So I was first a special advisor to the US West Coast, Silicon Valley, and then arrived in London in 2006. I've been within Innovation Norway helping smaller, medium-sized and larger companies expand into large, more mature markets. As a background, I'm a mechanical engineer. So I worked a lot within the industrial and the digital space.
Okay, great. So you're well prepared for today. Great. I'd like to begin by finding out a little bit more about the current state of business relations between the UK and Norway, particularly in terms of offshore manufacturing and engineering. Ambassador, could you answer perhaps this question?
Yes, I'll do that, Aaron. But first, I think before I come to more specifically offshore manufacturing, a little bit overview of the sort of economic relations between our two countries. You know, geographically, we are very close to each other. I mean, there's only the North Sea between us. And historically, UK and Norway have always have had sort of close, both cultural ties, but also trade relations. And I think it illustrates that quite clearly because UK is actually Norway's biggest or largest trading partner. And we, Norway's, who's only a population of 6 million, we are actually UK's 11th largest trading partner, which is not bad for a small country. So that sort of tells something about the kind of economic commercial integration. And of course, a lot of the export that comes from Norway to the UK is oil and gas. And I think we provide almost one third of all the energy need that UK has. And of course, it is also a big responsibility for us when it comes to energy security that UK is dependent on Norwegian energy. So if you look at the big picture here, about over 80% of Norway's sort of exports of goods are basically oil and gas. So oil and gas dominate the trade. You can say that Innovation Norway, all kinds of trade promotion is both basically directed towards the rest, you know, the 20% rest and trade in services. And of course, in trade services, the UK has an upper hand. They are stronger there than us. UK is in lead and have a the larger service volume that they export to Norway and we export to the UK. So that's sort of the big picture. And of course, you look at the offshore manufacturing, that's, you know, to a large extent, a part of those rests, you know, the 20%, because those manufacturing services are to a large extent, you know, offshoots of the big energy element in our trade relationship. So I think that will give the listener sort of a feeling of the kind of relationship we have. And that's a kind of a relationship that developed over many, many years, because we found oil and gas in the North Sea more or less, you know, at the same time. The sector developed on each side of the maritime border. We shared a continental shelf, and also over years it's developed and kind of an integrated, you know, partnership and a business segment, you know, around energy in the North Sea. And there, of course, you have maritime services and of course, in the manufacturing element related to building the Condip platform, the pipes, and all the sort of the stuff you need to do exploration. And also integration when it comes to companies. I mean, look at Equinor UK is 40 years of age and then a substantial company in the UK as it is in Norway. So I think that sort of gives a rough picture of our relationship and partnership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you find that political and economic factors actually influence the partnership between the UK and Norway in offshore manufacturing? I mean, is it how would you judge that?
The partnership. What do you mean, Aaron? Well, how do you can you repeat that, please?
Well, the political and economic factors. How do they influence the Norwegian partnership?
Yeah, in that sense, you know. Yeah. Of course, I mean, for us, as any actor, predictability is important. And of course, there's been, the United Kingdom has made its own sovereign decision to leave the European Union. And after that, we were able to negotiate a free trade agreement, which works very well and safeguards our interest when it comes to trade and investments. There are some challenges, but we've been able to work very closely with our British partners to find pragmatic and practical solutions to those problems. So that's where we are. I mean, this is the reality, and it hasn't really affected our trade much, as I can see from the figures.
Mm-hmm. And what initiatives or policies are actually in place to support and promote offshore manufacturing partnerships between the UK and Norway?
I think the most important is, of course, the free trade agreement, which in a sense ensures the free trade and frictionless free trade and also investment. And if you look at the investments for figures, they're quite substantial. Of course, the portfolio investments from sovereign wealth fund is massive. But also, if you look at FDIs, that's also quite substantial. And then we have all kinds of schemes and policies and support programs to increase our export. It seems from our, you know, we would like to sort of, you know, develop the market even deeper and further. And here, perhaps I would like Hilde to come in, you know, representing Innovation Norway here in the UK. So Hilde, please fill in.
So I can speak a bit about Innovation Norway and how we are instruments for some of the activities that we do, of course, in the UK, but around the world. And in terms of the UK, we have been on the ground since 1957. So it's always been a long and very good relationship. Innovation Norway was established back in 2004, and it's crucial for the Norwegian government and the county authorities in Norway in driving value creation in terms of business development, green growth, and export opportunities. So we serve as a gateway for Norwegian companies that wanted to access, for instance, the UK and Ireland. And we provide capital, we provide expertise, networks, we try to foster growth ambitions, both individually and within networks. And of course, there is a strong relationship between similar organizations in the UK. And I would say that within the space of the green transition, but also the digital transition is in the core of our focus. And we also try to put on a lot of the promotional activities. So last year, for instance, together with the embassy, we had a large trade organization to the UK, which had a great turnout for both countries, I believe.
Okay. How do UK companies get involved with innovation? Norway. How does it actually work?
So one of the things that we do, we try to be active in the UK markets, bringing companies together. That could be through conferences. It could be through actively try to match companies. We also have an inward investment arm. So it means that companies that wanted to go to Norway, take interest in what we do back home. We will also be able to introduce those companies to key players in Norway.
Mm-hmm. And are there any particular technologies which you find that UK companies are going to Norway and saying, oh, this is how we can, there is some synergy here, we can work together? Is there anything which stands out to you which you think, ah, yeah, that's definitely something which is developing?
I guess, like Tore said previously, the long relationship we had through the oil and gas and the successful developments that we've seen over the years, that's kind of that's been already a very good relationship between Norwegian and UK companies. What we see now, there is a lot within the climate tech, it's a lot within the broader energy transition. But I also would say that UK have done really well within the digital space. So we take a keen interest in the things and initiatives the UK put on. And I think that it's important for the energy transition, but it goes across a lot of sectors.
Okay, cool. I mean, what are the, you know, some of the main challenges or obstacles faced by businesses engaged in offshore manufacturing, for example, between the UK and Norway?
I think that if you look at the offshore wind sector, which is really important to us, I think it's been evident in the recent auction that there is currently a challenge with it comes to cost of financing and also the input factors and how the prices have increased. I think also that the feedback that we get from the industry is that the government's, you know, they're not offering the contracts that provide the necessary incentives for the industrial expansions. Currently, that is something we discuss a lot with the industry. Of course, it's a bit of a slowdown currently, but it's also, you know, it's been really a rapid growth in the recent time. So I think it's what we're trying to do now is how do we still maintain the momentum, especially when it comes to the innovative projects and to push things forward so that we don't lose out on the speed. So that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen a change over the last year, especially with the, or year and a half, I should say, really, over the gas, oil and gas prices? And have you seen there's more of a closer bond with the UK over the last year and a half because of the situation in around the world with regards to energy?
I could perhaps chip in if you.
Yeah.
You know, I felt that, and of course, it was a a very difficult situation for all of us when the energy prices, exploded because of the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the reduction of piped energy to Europe. And of course, that increased the prices of the remaining gas that was provided by Norway. And of course, there was a lot of discussion about how we're going to allocate that gas. And the Norwegian view was that, you know, there is no other alternative than using the price mechanism, because you cannot really allocate a scarce resources through bureaucratic decisions. And of course, we had that debate with it. In my view, the debate was probably more difficult vis-a-vis the EU than the UK. And I thought that we came through that that sort of difficult situation, and now prices are coming down to a more normal level. So of course it was a difficult for us, because we did not appreciate those high prices. We think long term, and we would like to have happy customers forever. But how do you allocate? I mean, if you force Norway to have lower prices, what will the minority share owners of these companies say about that? You end up with legal cases, court cases, and stuff like that. So I'm thankful for the conversation and the discussion we had with the UK during those difficult times.
Okay, great. I mean, have you found that cultural differences or language barriers has impacted on the collaboration between the UK and Norway, especially regarding offshore manufacturing?
Well, I can take the general part of it, Aaron. I mean, I feel that there are almost minimal or very small sort of language and cultural differences, which actually create problems. English has become the second language in Norway. It goes very deep down. Children learn English from very young age. And it's also English as a company language for very, very, very many Norwegian companies. I would say also the cultural differences are there, but they are moderate. We always been very close to you for the last 1300 years. This has been across the North Sea, mm-hmm. and we have learned a lot from each other. So, and there are, 1% of the Norwegian population is living in the United Kingdom, and we have a considerable British diaspora in Norway. And so those cultural differences we are able to overcome, and we share the same sense of humor to a large extent as well.
Great. And are there any notable success stories or case studies that you can highlight the benefits of UK Norwegian collaboration?
I can perhaps start, and Hilde can fill in. I mean, there's a couple of there which I'm fairly proud of, which I think is worth mentioning. The first I would like to mention is the large Dogger Bank, sort of largest offshore wind farm in the UK, which is in Yorkshire, and where you now is close to finish the first phase. And when it's all finished, it will be an extremely large sort of wind farm, and where Equinor is the Norwegian company. Equinor is the operator. So that is a sort of important landmark. Hywind in Scotland, which is actually the first floating offshore wind park in the UK, and in the future for Norway, because we have our continental shelf is somewhat deeper than yours, so we will be more dependent on floating offshore wind farms in the future. We are somewhat more expensive, but hopefully through technological development, we were able to produce those floating wind parks are cheaper in the future, which means that we can have them further out from the coastline, so you can't see them, and they don't necessarily interfere with coastal shipping. So that's a sort of another highlight. I would also like to shed light DNV, the Norwegian Veritas operations in the UK. You have DNV Norway, who's actually, which is a certification company.
Yep.
It's actually have certified about 70% of all offshore wind turbines that are used in the UK. And I, you know, that sort of illustrates the kind of, you know, the integration in the energy economy between us.
Okay.
Hilda, please add to Hilda. You have more successful switch stories.
I could just confirm what you say, Torbjørn. I think what is really, I'm really delighted to see that there is a really strong interest towards the UK at the moment. I think since the beginning of this year, we've had either individual or a group of companies coming to the UK within the, especially within the energy transition side. There've been events, it's been meetings, it's been a lot of activity going on already, and I know there is a lot more to come. So I think it just proved that we are at a point where I think the different industry players, they understand the opportunity and the need to collaborate and cooperate. So I would say that there is, it seems to be very promising, and like Tore mentioned, it's a very close in terms of a 2 hours flight. So for Norwegian industry players, the UK is like an extended home market, I would say.
Yeah, well, that leads me to my next question, I suppose, is I've got to ask it. How does the UK's departure from the EU actually impact the relationship between Norway and the UK?
But let me just start by the, you know, because Norway is not a member of the EU. The British people, through the, you know, a referendum, made a sovereign decision that they would like to opt out of the EU. We would never ever think about, you know, having any sort of critical views about that, because we have done the same. You know, there were two referendums in Norway, and it ended in no join the EU both. So we respect, you know, any decision that British people make. And we've been very happy with the free trade agreement. The fact that UK is now not a part of the internal market, and we are a part of the internal market, creates some challenges on when it comes to mobility and movement of skilled personnel. I think we've been able to deal with them as we've been moving along. Our British friends are very much aware, and they are leaning forward to try to find practical solutions. And as long as we can have that sort of pragmatic approach ahead, I think we're going to overcome the sort of the practical challenges that come out of the fact, you know, that we are a part of the internal market and you are not.
So it's not really a huge barrier. It's more of looking at the opportunities and finding solutions to any potential issues. Is not really a barrier as such.
No, not, you know, seen from our perspective, the kind of value chains where we both are involved, we will be able to overcome the practical problems. You know, I think that's and we are a hyper pragmatic people, and the Brits are hyper pragmatic people, and we are together, we will find solutions.
That's very good. And what opportunities, therefore, do you see for further growth and development between the UK and Norway? I suppose Hilda and the ambassador, but either.
Hilda, you start.
Yeah, so of course we have to credit the UK being a world leader in offshore wind. It's just amazing what you've done driving growth and job creation. And I think, you know, in terms of Norway, I think that, like it was mentioned previously, the renewable mega project like Dogger Bank, it's a testament really to what can be achieved through a successful joint venture, this between SSE Renewables, Equinor, and Vårgrønn. But it's also about those key partners collaborating with authorities, suppliers, and the local communities. And it's just massive in terms of size. And that for me, it's just one example how we not only innovate and also take on world-leading projects, but it's also saying something about the kind of key focus for us together to try to accelerate both the pace and the scale of the energy transition, bringing those projects live. So I think that's just a showcase for players globally. And also, I think it's now all what we discussed with the industry is how to try to earn the cost and how to operate smarter. So that is just what's needed to achieve the ambitious goals in terms of getting to net zero. And I think for Norway, what we can offer, we have a lot of experience and we invest obviously a lot of funding as well into what we call the frontier technologies. And we do a lot with both early stage companies, the more established and the really well established companies, to bring them together to form the very effective, innovative, disruptive ecosystems. And that is what we wanted to extend towards the UK as well, and to plug into the similar type of networks here. And that's what we work on every single day.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's, I mean, from Norway's point of view, this also moves into the sustainability and environmental responsibility. I mean, how important is that for Norway, but also the relationship between the UK and Norway, and any kind of synergy between the two?
I think Hilde is probably more.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really important to Innovation Norway in everything that we do. And just to give a bit of context, on an annual basis, we provide approximately around 7 billion Norwegian kroner to the development and innovation within the industry and commerce. And if you look at all the projects that we do and finance, close to 70% of those financial resources that we deploy, they are spent on projects that have a potential positive environmental impact. So I would say Norway, that's always been the core at what we've done. And we started really early on. So that has taken us to that level today, which we are really proud of. And that would just continue in the years to come.
Fantastic. Unfortunately, time is starting to run out. So I'd just like to ask one more question to the ambassador. And that's really, how do you see Norwegian and UK relations developing over the next 5 years or so?
I think that economic history clearly illustrates what will happen, you know, in the near future, or at least, in the next 5-10 years will be reflected by the base that we are having today. And I see that there's a lot of potential. And here I'm sort of just taking a little bit further from where Hilde was looking at opportunities. And I see that there are two sort of very important trends that will not trends, but things that need to happen in the time ahead as a part of the energy transition. As carbon taxes are increasing, there will eventually be a business model for hydrogen. There will be a business model for large-scale business model for carbon capture and storage. And here we have common interest. We both have oil and gas. We have a continental shelf where you can store an enormous amount of, safely store an enormous amount of carbon dioxide that can be helpful for the whole industrial machine in Europe. And actually, you know, store carbon dioxide where we previously took out gas, and they have been safe down there for 300 million years. And I'm sure that we can safely store the carbon dioxide there for the next 300-400 million years and help, you know, in the sort of long energy transition that we are facing. And also hydrogen, although you get energy loss when you use hydrocarbons to make hydrogen, But in the medium term, you know, we'll come to a threshold where it might be profitable because of the carbon taxes. And again, combined with carbon captured and storage, you know, there can be a launch potential for both the UK and Norway here in the future. So, and there are many other, you know, business models around this. So I'm quite optimistic about our relationship. It's been a seen from our perspective, you look at the way that Norwegian maritime business developed from the mid 19th century was actually because of the change of corn laws in the UK in the 1840s, which allowed cabotage, which sort of laid the foundation for Norwegian, you know, shipping industry, which is still, you know, one of the most competitive, you know, industries in the world. And UK is still our largest maritime partner, you know, maritime business partner. So nothing really changes to cite, you know, the wonderful film, The Elephant Man. It's actually from Tennyson. So, you know, things will move in ahead more or less as it is, but the integration might even be deeper and more profound. And then that will be profitable both for the UK and Norway.
Fantastic. Thanks, Ambassador and Hild. Thanks so much for your time and good luck with all your projects.
Thank you, Ariel. It's been great speaking to you.
Thank you.
Talking Industry, topical debate from the world of engineering, automation and manufacturing. Brought to you by DFA Media Group. This episode is sponsored by Smart Machines and Factories, the leading portfolio for digital solutions in manufacturing. www.smartmachinesandfactories.co.uk